Where'd you go?
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Rashid is on the board of directors for our sponsor, WhiteAppleInstitute.org. Make sure you check WhiteAppleInstitute.org out and see if it's a possibility in your budget to donate to help students with resources and services so they can succeed at school and the workforce. That's right. That's what White Apple Institute does. Good morning. This is Dr. Danita Applewhite, and I'm calling you live from Arizona, Mesa, Arizona. I was out doing a little walking this morning and just enjoying the sunshine and hoping that wherever you are, whether it's truly just winter weather that you're looking at, that you find the sun in your life. That's right. Find that sun in your life. Look up into the sky. You'll see that there's still light going on. And we share the same sun no matter where we are in the world. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, I can't tell you enough about why I keep coming back to this concept of stress. Stress keeps coming up with my students, with the clientele that call me for counseling. It keeps coming up and up and up. So I am assuming that the listeners out there, almost 50,000 listeners, are eager for me to continue talking about how to manage stress in violent times, because we are living in violent times now. And we have someone who's been holding on the line, came on at the very beginning of the show, and I would like to at least acknowledge that person in 928. Good morning. Good morning, 928.
Good morning, Danita. Dr. Applewhite, how are you today?
Happy to have you call in this morning. And you sound very, very familiar to me and hopefully to some of the listeners out there. Your name is?
Lou Estes.
John Lou Estes, that's right. And I am so happy that you're calling in this morning about managing stress in violent times. You know, I'm inclined to believe that most people are not aware that stress is a very, everybody has it. Stress is important for us to experience. But we always think of stress as a negative, but it actually is a very beautiful component that our Creator has placed within us to deal with how we handle the day-to-day changes in our life. Now, we can balance in this world. Balance is so important. experiencing more stress related to violence. Now, you know that White Apple Institute deals with students who are having challenges, adult students, having challenges returning to school because of disability or financial hardship or other at-risk factors. A lot of psychosocial issues, we call them. And so one of the major issues that keeps coming up, as I mentioned before, is the stress issue. So students with mental and physical disabilities are dealing with a little bit more stress these days than normal. And that's a lot of that is because of the media, the way that things are being presented now for people with disabilities. We see that physical disabilities were emerging and doing wonderful things to express how differently able people can succeed. But we're still behind with those students, those persons with mental disabilities who are still trying to level the playing field to equalize our participation. So many professionals are trying to help understand our violent times. You turn on the television set and there are many people that are constantly talking about mental illness and stress and, of course, recently all you hear is gun control and violence and reminders of the horrors that are going on in our society. Many of the solutions that people are coming up with are actually increasing stress. That's interesting, Lou Estes, that many of the solutions that people are coming up with are actually increasing the stress of many of our students out there, specifically in classrooms. You know, when people are suggesting that teachers go around wearing automatic rifles or guns in the classroom, pretty tough solution. The association of mental disabilities with violence and gun control, it continues to cause great controversy, and that's what our show is focused on this morning, is how we can share some positive ways to handle stress in the midst of these violent times and try our best not to ignore the fact that stress is there and all of us are feeling it, whether or not we listen to the news or not. If we hear just a drop of news by standing at a bus stop or within our workplace or whatever, we still hear about some things that are going on in the world. And for many of us, it makes us stress out. You agree, John?
Oh, yes, yes. Life can be stressful at times, but it depends on the outlook that one uses. Everyday life has stressors, but it's up to the individual to find a means to relieve that stress. Like you said, you went for a walk this morning. Walks can be, or any kind of exercise can be stress relieving.
Mm-hmm.
Reading a book or anything that an individual enjoys, the stress that is outside of one's life that affects their lives indirectly kind of builds up.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on it depends on how one addresses that stress.
Mm-hmm.
They can go ballistic and get mad at anything or let it control their minds or our minds. Or we can choose to let it be like water rolling off a duck's back.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes time to be able to do that.
And through
certain relaxation exercises.
That's right.
Whatever exercise helps, a a person can come to a point where all they have to do is take a deep breath and blow out the stress.
And you know, it's important to recognize when our stress levels are out of control or overwhelming to us. And I think that that's one of the most dangerous things about stress is that many people don't recognize when our stress levels are out of control and what's really affecting us, because it builds up, and stress affects us not only in our bodies, but definitely in our minds and in our spiritual nature, and manifests itself in our behavior. And everyone experiences stress differently. When we think about someone who is getting married, that is a stressful situation, and the same amount of stress can be associated with someone going to a funeral as going to a wedding, as far as physical stress is concerned. Now, when we're dealing with the mind and the spirit, the way we interpret the way our body is responding is how we will actually reach that balance that I was talking about a little while ago. The balance of knowing when things are getting, when stress is getting out of control with us. Now, again, let's make sure that we understand that most people are not aware when our stress levels are out of control. And that's one of the things that we need to push here, is that recognition is the first step. And I find with teachers a lot, teachers are very, very, they're very difficult on themselves as far as admitting that they're in a stressful situation. So are counselors, because our nurturing spirit, our nurturing character is one where we try our best to be there for our patients, for our clientele, for our students. And so for some reason, we don't balance ourselves as much as we try to balance others. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, definitely. There's, and unfortunately, in our field, we find I find, of course, I'm not a licensed counselor yet.
Mm-hmm. You will be.
I do have a degree in mental health counseling.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of paperwork that we have to do is just astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, I found I just recently got laid off.
Uh-huh.
But the amount of paperwork that I had to do on each client was so tremendous that even that, you know, I didn't know what the heck to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That is part of the field, and you're bringing up a very good point. It's not just the day-to-day relationship you have with clientele or students, it is also that administrative pressure that comes on.
Yeah, yeah. And with the amount of administrative duties thrusted upon us through the local REBAs, of course, It, like I said, is unsurmountable, but I can understand the duplication of forms and the different aspects that the regional Board of Health have to put on agencies is for the ultimate protection of the client. But I think it interferes with the true quality of the counseling that is given to the client, mm-hmm. because we're restricted 15-minute in count, 15, 30, 45, mm-hmm. up to 120-minute in
right.
counters.
Okay.
And sometimes
everybody has to try to take
that's time. Not enough time.
Yes, yes, this is
get,
so true.
Get yeah. to the, you know, a client
or just take
invariably, I don't know about yours, but
mm-hmm.
mine, invariably, within the last 5 minutes, would drop what I call a bomb
mm-hmm.
of an issue, and we'd I'd have to leave it.
Right. Also, right.
I couldn't address it,
mm-hmm.
you know, without, you know, going over into someone else's time or something
right.
else I had to do, a meeting I had to attend or a staffing or a training or something, you know. And
uh-huh.
and you make notes and you try to address that the next time.
May I suggest for any of the counselors out there that are listening, teachers also, because teachers are counselors, that at that end, because that happens to many of us, at the end when people are bringing up those last-minute bombs that they drop about, you know, what's really going on with them after you've been with them almost an hour and all of a sudden now you're getting to what really is going on and what's really causing the stress, is that
yeah.
we have to learn how to table it. We need to learn how to package it up and get it ready for our next session.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we can do with that is to take whatever that client is saying to us about what's causing stress or what's causing any kind of trauma in their life and have them work on coming back the next time with at least two or three things that they think would address that. And that at least gives us the capability and empowers the client to work on what they're saying at the last minute. So it's not just just dropped. It's not just
okay.
left there. It actually is something that becomes a workable objective.
Oh, definitely.
So
you can't just
it helps
you
a
can't
bit.
Just leave it out there. You have to improvise within the last few moments of the session.
Yes.
To come, because I'm a firm believer in trying to the best to leave. Have the session end in a positive manner.
Sure.
And
we all would love that. We want our clientele, we want our students to walk out of the door feeling better than they
yeah.
did when they walked in. Or at
so
least,
as also as having been an adjunct professor myself, you know, a student comes up 5 minutes before class is over and ask a question, you know, you
so
want that student to be able to walk out with the answer.
Yes. Yes,
or at
do.
Least enough of the answer that they can carry on their own research between then and the next class session.
Oh, yes, I am.
You know, it's so
that's,
funny that
that's what
you're
I've,
bringing this
most
up.
Most of the time I would do. I
yes.
would give the student part of the answer and say, all right, you go here, you go there, and you find the rest of the answer.
Mm-hmm. Very good. That's a good way to do it. And of course, there are those times when we just can't come up with that answer at the last minute. And that's a sign of a good counselor, one that understands that there are times when we really can't find those solutions. And so we work around it and do the best that we can. One of the things I want to sidetrack just for a minute here and make sure that we're all on the same page as we have other people calling in on the line now. And our chat line is open. So for those of you who wish to discuss things with us about the stress in violent times, feel free to chat with us if you don't want to come on live. But I wanted to at least make sure that we understand what stress is. And just, I don't want to get into the way I would teach it in the classroom, but to do as much as I can to just break it down and help people to understand that it is a very good thing within our system that our Creator put there for us to respond to stress in a very positive way within our bodies, that our nervous system begins to respond by releasing what we call stress hormones. And, you know, these go into adrenaline and all kinds of other things that the body uses for any kind of emergency action. So when we're dealing with any kind of stress, and we're dealing with, of course, the heart pounding faster and, the tightening, the blood pressure issues, and everything that happens with our senses, when we start feeling that means usually that the stress is getting to a point where it's getting out of control. When we start feeling that increasing pace of our heart beating faster and the tightening, and the physical changes increase and our balance goes off, okay, our reaction time, and we have trouble focusing. And so what happens is that our body, the way it's created, it helps us to balance. So we have that capability already built in. But what happens when we run out of resources within our own body? Because maybe we haven't taken care of ourselves physically the way we should by eating the right foods, by getting the proper rest. Then we have to reach a little deeper into how we can go into our spiritual bank. You see, we have a physical bank or bank account where we have to make regular deposits of good foods, of good things we do for our body. And of course, then we have a mental bank where we make positive deposits and our spiritual bank. Now, remember, as we make deposits, many times we're making withdrawals. And so we have to make sure that our living checking account, if you will, is balanced. The same way that we're talking about balancing our stress. It's the same thing. Stress, balancing stress, can actually save your life. Save your life, my friends. If you understand that it is your body's response and it's natural. Now, I know that there are some people that say, well, I'm not really clear on when I'm feeling this and what to do when I'm feeling this, especially if I'm in the middle of a classroom or in the middle of a speech or workshop or a counseling session. What do I do if I have problems with my memory or judgment or I get a little irritable? You know, how do I balance that out when I'm right in the midst of other people? How do I deal with that anxiety? And the only way you can do that is that just like if you were out of money, you would go to the bank and go into your savings account if you needed money to pay for a bill. Sometimes we don't have a savings account, though. So then what do we do? If we don't have the resources in front of us to address the stress, the signs and the symptoms of stress, then we have to, at that point, look at support from other people. How do we build a support network, or at least look for supportive friends and family members that can help us deal with life stressors? You have to have confidence in yourself and that you know that you have the ability to influence the things in your life, your own events. That life is like a computer keyboard. We sit down and we write our script every day. And we have control over the delete key. Get that one. We have control over the delete key, my friends. So anything we type as far as our script for life and the way we want to control the stress in our life, we can always delete things. Put them on the back burner, so to speak. Come back to them later when we're feeling a lot better. Attitude. Optimism. You know, I'm always talking about optimism. And your ability to deal with your emotions. Try your best to avoid the vulnerability to stressful situations. Sometimes, and you can attest to this, any of our listeners out there and our guests this morning, that you can attest to the fact that many times we're so conditioned to being in a stressful mode that it's very hard for us to step outside of that mode because we're so familiar with being in a stressful state all the time. We're so familiar with the pounding heart and the tightening muscles and the sweaty palms and the headaches that it's hard for us to imagine life without those things. And when it happens, we're like, whoa, well, something must be wrong because I'm so accustomed to being at a stress level. So gain some knowledge about stress. You can do it by just going into the computer and Googling stress management if you wish. You can do it by associating yourself with different organizations, mental health organizations, as well as groups that you can join. So you can prepare yourself to deal with most stressful situations. Any comments on that? Have any comments on that? I'm sorry. I think I accidentally... Okay. I have another caller here. I have another caller here coming in. Okay. Ideas? Hello?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, caller. Can you call in from...
Yes, I am. You were talking about how stress affects our body different ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's true that, I guess the saying is, it's true that people would have a backache and that is due to stress and they don't even know it. Is that correct? Is that
what
you're basically
saying? Right. Yes.
Yeah. Because I know sometimes when I get really stressed, I feel ill, like if I have a fever or I'm tired.
Uh-huh.
And I always think it's maybe I'm just coming down with the flu. That's how I always mistake it. Go to the doctor and, you know, I'm fine. But I guess stress could block a lot of, I guess, your memory, too. That's what, you know, I forget things very easy.
Right, right. And the backaches, the stress in our life increases our level of pain also. That's another thing we need to remember, is that the stress in our life will definitely increase if we have a diagnosis of a mental disability. It increases that stress. You take, for instance, a student with dyslexia, especially an adult student with dyslexia, who's returning back to school again after 20-something years, the amount of stress associated with the dyslexia or the wantonness, the desire to learn increases. And that is one of the reasons why we see so many adults burning out and dropping out of school and the workforce. It's because it becomes so stressful to deal with, I don't understand this. I want to understand it, but I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have, as our show is surrounded around managing stress in violent times, we have so much violence going on in our society, so many things that affect us on a stress level from our environment, that it is really hard for us to balance that too, in addition to the internal stress and the stress we're feeling within our own family units. So we are dealing with a lot of things, especially here in the United States, because we increase our stress by just monetary things, by just trying our best to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, for our children to keep up with certain things within the school culture.
Yeah, it's true.
So stress is just all around us. And the only way that we can really start to address it so that our bodies are not overwhelmed
by the negative effects of stress so that our mental health stays balanced is to at least begin to recognize that stress is present and then gain knowledge about what that stress is and prepare ourselves to handle it. Do you agree, our mental health counselor online this morning?
Well, I remind you, I'm not a mental health counselor. I have but I do have a degree in mental health counseling.
Well, that's what I mean.
I think, you know, prior to the last caller starting to talk, I was thinking sometimes it's all right to acknowledge that, pardon the expression, life sucks. You know, and things recognizing and acknowledging the stress is the first step that we have to do in the management of stress. There are, like you mentioned, finances. Finances, I have found, are the number one problem, or not problem, cause of stress.
Certainly in America, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Because, you know,
especially
like
now.
You say, get up with the Joneses, or just trying to figure out how are you going to make the rent payment? How are you going to make the lease payment? How are you going to make the house payment? How are you going to pay the house payment and the electric? Which one are you going to take? Pay the house payment or the car payment? Blah, 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 blah. You know, and just recognizing that, you know, sometimes things seem insurmountable, but they are. And, you know, through recognizing that sometimes life sucks. It really does. We have situations which way to turn.
Right. You bring out some very, very good points because that is true. Sometimes life does suck. And many of us want to avoid that reality of saying that. We want to stay on, you know, optimism does not mean that we ignore reality. That optimism or positive psychology, if you will, is about knowing that we're dealing with problems in this life, internally and externally. And many times they are beyond our control. But all of us have the power to control the way we respond to stress. Not that we can do anything about the stressful situation sometimes, especially as it's happening at that moment. But we begin to start learning with knowledge. We begin to start learning how to spot the things that stress us out in our life so that we can stay in control and stay more balanced. So you can, and I love the Serenity Prayer for this, and so many people, you can say it, say the Serenity Prayer, but do you really truly believe that you're asking God, whatever you call God, to grant you the serenity to accept the things that you cannot change? And when we do that, we are absolutely beginning to address the stress in our life. When we understand what we can and cannot change in our situation. So this way, we keep the stress in control. Because there's no way, when we look at just recent events with Sandy Hook, the unfortunate, innocent lives that have been lost, not only with the young students there, but across the board, when you think about students, kids, adults in urban areas that are being subjected to gang shootings. We just lost a very beautiful young lady, Hadia, Pendleton in Chicago, where our First Lady Michelle Obama went to the funeral, just because she was shot in a schoolyard. When we hear all of these things and we know all of these things are going on around us, there's nothing we can do particularly for that external thing that's happening. But what we can do is deal with how we can control and balance our own reaction to it. That's what we have control over, my friends, is our response to stress. So if we work a little harder on how we can learn how to not just necessarily relax, because that's such an easy thing to say, oh, just relax, take a deep breath. I mean, and it does work. Yoga, meditation, all of the deep breathing exercises. There's lots of different tapes, videos, CDs, books that you can get that can help you with relaxation. But more importantly, it's about understanding that stress can be handled. Our response to stress can be handled. We're in control of that. We pause for a moment just to ask that we honor, go into the vet-to-vet part of our show, and we want to honor the veterans that are out there. So we're going to take a quick break for a moment, and we'll be coming back to our show with a vet-to-vet component, and then we will finish up with our discussion this morning. So while we are taking a quick break right now for less than 15 seconds,
welcome home all of the veterans that are listening. I'm proud to be associated with my fellow brothers and sisters.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Talk about stress in violent times as it applies to our veterans out there. That's another issue that we can't overlook. Because if anyone knows what type of violent times we're in, certainly our soldiers on the field are subjected to that on a daily basis. You know, earlier in the show, I asked a question about who's experiencing more stress related to the violence in our times. And I talked about the fact that students with, of course, mental disabilities are experiencing a lot of additional stressors because of the way that the media is portraying that violence in our schools is somehow associated with a diagnosis of mental illness. And we're hoping that with the work that we're doing through White Apple Institute that we will be able to change that type of thinking so that people will recognize that mental illness is a condition. And that condition does not necessarily mean that's going to subject someone to picking up an automatic rifle and going out and shooting someone. However, we do need to recognize there are people in our world that, although diagnosed with mental illness, may indeed succumb to hurt other people. And this would be whether or not they have a mental illness or not. But many times, when they have been diagnosed, they are more susceptible, easier led, easier influenced many times. But it still does not mean that they have to be categorized or labeled as violent perpetrators.
Thank you.
But I also want to focus on what's happening out there with families, hearing all of this stuff and looking at those in their own family that are diagnosed with mental illness and making sure that they are not looking at how dangerous the situation could become just because of that diagnosis. I'm getting some phone calls in and emails in regards to family members being concerned, teachers being concerned. And I just want, I want to correlate that, I want to associate that with the factor that stress in itself, if you think about it, stress in itself is a disability when it becomes chronic. Because that is one of the ways that we determine mental illness is by how frequently someone is experiencing a symptom and how long it is.
Back to the message.
How long have they experienced that symptom?
Right here.
And so stress, that's why we have to be so careful of balancing it out. Stress can definitely impact us so greatly that it pushes us into reacting in our behaviors in different ways that turn people off within our family, within our coworkers, within the peers, within our classroom. So let's try our best to work very, very hard on some of the things that we've talked about this morning and make sure that you, my friends, you can look in the mirror of your own soul, look in your eyes in the mirror,
and see an option for that,
and determine whether or not you are balancing the stress in your life and not letting it get out of control.
And
because that's very, very important to us. We have one more caller we'd like to take in. We've got about 15 more minutes left on the show, and we want to make sure that we really understand how to handle the stress in such violent times.
What is it?
We have a caller in at 602. Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite.
Yeah.
Dr. Applewhite, good morning. This is
Consuelo
Astete, and I am just so distressed that I was unable to tune in from the beginning.
Yes. But you got an idea of what we're talking about today and about the association that we have with not only mental illness, mental disabilities, with violence, but the stress issues associated with violent times in our society, that we're all subject to crossing that line and getting out of control.
Yes.
And there have got to be ways that we can teach ourselves and teach others, because we're all students and teachers, right?
Yes.
And so we have to work together on helping people to understand how do we balance this? How do we control our response to stress? How do you control your response to stress?
86 or 64?
I believe it's a complete outlook of general well-being, physical, spiritual, and mental.
Yes.
The three have to be in synchronism, and we, as human beings, we have to make an effort to be on top of ourselves, you know, to be well and in the three aspects that I mentioned, and then be able to help others and be able to expand our love and our peace and our ideas of peace and love and tolerance.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's important, too, because if we don't do that, our bodies kind of stay on this high alert all the time, always anxious. Anxiety is a diagnosable mental illness. Anxiety,
yes.
Which is product of stress. And so without stress management in our life, without our ability to recognize when stress is present, we are truly hurting ourselves.
Yes.
And we are crossing, if we're not careful, we can cross that line where it makes such a negative impact on our physical health, on our mental health, and on spiritual health, that it affects our relationships with others and our own quality of life.
Exactly.
So we really have to work hard at how we respond to the stress in our life, because, again, back to what I was saying earlier, and I think I have an agreement with those that are online with me live and for those who are in a chat room with us, that there is that we have to start looking at how we can control our responses better than we can look at how we control our environment. We can't have a lot of control over what's going on in our world.
Need your phone number and your email address.
There is, and as Lou Estes brought out a moment ago, he said sometimes we just have to recognize that life sucks.
Uh-huh.
And give us that moment of saying that, of being able to be okay with saying that.
Radio, it says 86.
You know, there's one other thing I wanted to bring out before we leave this discussion on managing stress and on the stress related to, especially the stress related to those who are dealing with mental illness in our society today. I mentioned earlier, our Creator has built in hormones that respond to our stress levels and help us manage it. We have something called, and I'm sure you've heard of this, Lou, the fight or flight response, where
we
are able to either fight or to flight, to stay and to deal with whatever is going on in our lives, or to leave it alone. And what a beautiful choice we have to do that.
Yeah.
Why is it so difficult sometimes for us to leave things alone that we cannot change? We get hooked up as we're going through school or job training programs. We get so involved in what's going on with family members and things that are happening in our world that it pulls us away from our goals.
Okay.
And that causes stress in ourselves.
And then,
which is totally away. Go ahead.
Dr. Apple, I don't mean to interrupt, but since you know we don't have very much time, there is a book. Of course, I'm waiting for your book to come out too to read. But this is a new book, something new that has just come out, written by a physician, a neurosurgeon.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Back in Control, and he has a complete plan of treatment in which the first thing you have to do is you calm down your system, reduce
mm-hmm.
the stress. It's just amazing. It's just so beautiful. And then the objective, main objective of the book is to not only reduce pain, but make it disappear, and he has a lot of patients that he has treated. Pain actually disappears, and one of the he focuses on the whole. He's a holistic person, even though he's a surgeon, traditional doctor. He has discovered this, and so
what
his book has just come out. I'm going to buy it. It's called Back in Control. Back in Control. I forget the name of the doctor, and. The reason why I'm so interested, because I'm going to apply it to myself. Even though I do not have pain in one specific area of my body, I have something more generalized. And he says this also works like for fibromyalgia and different things. It's just amazing that this is like a breakthrough, Dr. Apple, a breakthrough in medicine. And it just relates so much to what we're talking. Because if we can get our whole being in synchronism with harmony and well-being, then, this would automatically reduce the chances and the risks of violence breaking out.
Yes. In addition to that, I want to also put in a kudo for one of my very good friends and colleagues, Dr. Jewel Diamond Taylor, whose book, Too Blessed to Be Stressed, very, very good book.
Oh, I'm going to get it too. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Too Blessed
to Be Stressed. And that's available out there. And I just want to share something that she wrote.
As a matter of fact, this doctor, he has a website, and I looked at his resources. That book is listed there. He lists at least five or six books, and that was one of them is Too Blessed to Be Stressed.
Yes,
so we're in the right path, Dr. Apple.
That's right. But she talks about living in a world of instant gratification that hurts us, the overnight or same-day delivery, all the fast food, everything's call waiting, super information highway, all of the...
Yeah, exactly.
Everything instant, and we become we become pampered. And
I think this is one of the reasons of violence, I believe, that one of the causes is that.
Yes, very good point. Thank you for that. Yes, because beware, it is a setup for breakdown. And people become so doggone conditioned and expected to adapt to fast-track living.
Watch news as much anymore because why do I need to know what's happening like in remote places in the world that is really not affecting my life, my environment, where I live? Why do I need to put all of that negative information in my mind? There's no need. We're just bombarded by all this, like you said, extra information that we don't need.
Mm-hmm.
And negative. I wish that the news would become like good news instead of the kind of news we get.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we do that, Spread that good news, like your show, for example.
Well,
we
know for sure that if we don't get the balance going in our life, and this is in line with what Jewel Diamond Taylor says also, we don't get our life in line, the stress will get the best of us, and we have to be aware of that.
So we have a mission, Dr. Apple. We, all of us that, are attentive to your activities, we have a mission. And, of course, if we could just influence just the very people that we live with, that we surround ourselves with, our friends, that would be a good beginning. And then it will slowly spread out. That is my hope.
Yes, and that's what we talked about a little earlier, too, is building that supportive network of people. Okay?
Exactly.
Building a support network of being able to find time to relax, not only just in reading things like you're bringing to us and sharing with us this morning about the book, but also that we allow ourselves to face the reality of what's going on, even around the world. Now, there are, you mentioned earlier that, why should you involve yourself with what's going on around the world because it doesn't directly impact you. But we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. We're on this planet, okay? And the point is that as we know about the things that are going on in the world externally, we can still, even if we know about them, we can still control the way we respond to the stress of them. So I don't think that we can hide from what's going on. If we're in a big boat, say, and on the other side of the boat, there are things happening over there, but we're all on the same boat, so we still have to, we still share in the impact of what's happening.
Yes.
But we don't have to directly have it impact us so we become so irritable and anxious, unbalanced, we feel overwhelmed, we isolate ourselves, become depressed. We don't have to go into that mode and start developing severe emotional symptoms because we don't take the time out to at least recognize that stress is in our life. And that's the hard part. And I think teachers and counselors are really, and correct me if I'm wrong, any of you, that teachers and counselors are the first ones to deny that they are in a stressful state. Because they're trying so hard to make sure they stay strong for those that they take care of, for those that they've taken the responsibility on, to say, I am your mentor.
For the most part, Dr. Applewhite, I have to agree with you. Because In a session, the counselor cannot, you know, just all of a sudden react.
Mm-hmm.
And that holding in of the stress of what a client might say or do is very difficult, but
mm-hmm.
has to be done because the number one rule is do no harm.
Right.
And if we reacted to everything that clients say, we would be harming them.
Yes, yes.
Within
our field, within counseling, education, and related fields, I think it's very, very important that we strive for that balance.
Yeah.
And because we are in that boat of doing no harm to the client, and sometimes reacting to what they're going through may cause some issues. But I caution that everyone is aware that, again, we have control of the way we respond, and sometimes responding to a client or student with compassion, with emotion, sometimes can be helpful. Sometimes.
And
that's all. You know, that doesn't mean that we have to become emotional as far as crying and getting upset with them, but that we recognize that sometimes the things that they're going through are so overwhelming. And it's just like going back to, and I know you've got to remember this, the times when teachers could hug a student or a counselor could put their arm around someone and console them. Those days, unfortunately, have been taken away from us because of all of the negative impact of touching someone else.
Yes, Dr. Apple, but you know, there's a solution for that. Like you spoke about networking, and I've always emphasized the need for human contact. So the solution for that is we have gatherings
mm-hmm.
with the people that we need to get close to, etc., and then we can have them all we want.
These are the
gatherings. Like we're waiting to have a wonderful celebration, maybe in May, very soon, in which we can invite, you know, everyone that we're concerned about.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you know, the hope is that it wouldn't be just once a year, or maybe every 3 months, you know, at the latest. The ideal would be every month, you know.
Thank you so much for joining us.
There's always, you know, we can make an effort to mend for whatever is lacking in the system, in the establishment, let's say.
There you go. Well, continue with recognizing and acknowledging stress in your life. And thanks so much, our guests, our listeners here, participating. We hope that somehow this has helped you with stress.
Not in there. No, I don't.